What's up, everyone? Good morning, and once again, welcome to our Water's Edge online Sunday morning worship experience. Thank you so very much for hanging out with us today and tuning in. For those of you that continue to like and share these online worship experiences with your circle of influence, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. We have people tuning in from all over the place. Also, for those of you that continue to worship with us online through giving and generosity, because that is an act of worship, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. You allow us to minister to more people, help more people, love more people, feed more people, serve more people, and shelter more people. You allow us to show the love of God to our community. Today, we finish up with our current series entitled The Search Party, and this study has been all about this. What are you and I really looking for in this life? What are we really searching for in this life? And what are some of the things that we absolutely need to find in this life? Like, we need to find our joy again. We need to find our faith again. We need to find our hope again. We need to find our optimism again and our purpose again. We need to find our significance again. But most of all, we need to find our resilience. We need to find our resilience again to hold on to our faith in our relationship with Jesus. And so what are some of the things that we need to find in this life and hold on to? And what are some of the things that we need to lose in this life? Like, we need to lose our pride. We need to lose our excuses. We need to lose always thinking that we're a victim. We need to lose that hesitation to change our life. Jesus even said, those of you that lose your life for my sake are going to find real life and what real life is all about. But those of you who try to hang on to your way of life are going to lose your life. And so what are some of the things that we need to find, and what are some of the things that we need to lose? And also remember the value of your life. Remember the worth of your life, and the value of your life and the worth of your life is not determined by what has happened to you or what is happening to you, but the value of your soul and the value of your life is determined by what happened to someone else 2,000 years ago on the cross, and that's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ considers your life valuable. In fact, your life is so valuable to God that it's worth the price of His very own Son, Jesus, who paid for our life by His cross and by the blood. That's how much He loves you, and that's how much God values you. You know, people love to create labels for themselves, and we love to create labels for other people in our life, categories. And based off of these labels, we usually place ourselves and other people in these categories: big, tall, skinny, small, rich, poor, a failure, or success, good people, good friends, bad friends, no friends, or hypocrite, genuine, fake, real, authentic, superficial. Category after category, label after label, and so many of these labels can change you, and they can change the way you see the world and relate to the world and treat other people in this world. And it also can affect the way that you see yourself, because it affects the way that you love yourself. I remember several years ago when my dad was still alive and he was pastoring in De Quincey and I was in college. One of my friends that I had grown up with, who had just been through so many difficult things in life, he went to go talk to my dad one day, and he grew up in the type of church that was very judgmental and very harsh and very religious. And he began to share with my dad many of his struggles and many of his weaknesses and the scars of his past. And he told my dad, he made this statement to my dad. He said, man, I want to get close to Jesus. I want to get close to God. I want to find my relationship with God again and Jesus again, but it just feels like I've messed up so much that I'm past the point of no return. With God, maybe I'm just past the point of no return. And so my dad told me that he had this long conversation with him about mercy and about grace and about new life and about second chances and about forgiveness, but it never really sunk in. He never really believed it. He always just believed the lie that with God he had messed up too much, too many scars, too many battles, and he was past the point of no return. When he was 26 years old, he got into a car wreck and he died. And he died believing that about himself. He died believing that about God and about how God related to him, that he was past the point of no return. What would make someone believe that? What would make someone embrace that feeling about their life? What would make someone just accept that label and that category that they're not good enough for God and they're past the point of no return? I'll tell you what it is, and this is what it is. It's self-loathing, self-hatred. And church and religion has added so much to this self-hatred that many of you and I experience, and this self-loathing that we experience, to the point where we believe it, and it affects the way that we see ourselves. It affects the way that we see the world. It affects the way that we see our future and our potential, and it affects the way that we relate to other people. I'm so wretched. I'm so bad. I'm so scarred. I'm so damaged. Why would God want me? I'm beginning to hate myself. I'm just a no good, dark, wretched sinner. And when you hear this over and over again every Sunday since you're 4 years old in Sunday school, that you're no good, you're wretched, you're no good, you're wretched, then that's how you start to see yourself. And that's how you start to see the world. And that's how you start to see other people. I'm a no good person who's wretched. And it hurts yourself, you, and many times if you don't know how to sort through the lies and the delusions, it produces self-hatred and self-loathing in your life. And honestly, this type of self-hatred produces a few things in our life that we absolutely need to be aware of. The first thing is this, and notice this today, you begin to fulfill the worst story that you believe about yourself. When you and I constantly focus and we constantly dwell on and we constantly let these thoughts of self-hatred and self-loathing consume our minds, that's when we constantly focus on those behaviors, and we start to believe all of that about ourselves, and that leads us to seeing a cycle of always seeing the worst in ourselves and believing the worst about ourselves. It also does this. It'll limit your courage to try new things. It'll limit your courage to take new risks. It'll hinder your personal growth, and most importantly, it'll hinder your personal growth in your personal faith with Jesus Christ. It'll also hinder your future success in life. The next thing is this. It gives negative self-talk, and it produces negative self-talk. When you continue to cut yourself down, then it produces these feelings of never being adequate and always feeling worthless. But remember, your life is always worth the price of God's Son. When you constantly engage in this negative self-talk, it makes it that much more difficult to challenge those negative beliefs that you keep believing about yourself, especially right now, but also later on down the road. And you just keep believing all those lies about yourself. Maybe I am past the point of no return. Maybe I am nothing. Maybe I am worthless. Maybe I am wretched. But none of this is true. Something else is this. It has a negative impact on your social life. Listen to me. You will never have healthy relationships in your life if you hate yourself. You will never have healthy relationships in society if you always feel like you're not good enough and you don't measure up. No one else can enter your life and fix that for you. No one else can enter your life and love that out of you. If you've bought into the lie that you're nothing, you're no good, you're past the point of no return, you're damaged goods, you're worthless, no one else can enter your life and be in love with you enough to fix that for you, or to love you enough and support you enough to fix that for you, because you don't love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, no one else can love you out of that. You have to stop believing those false stories and those false narratives about your life. Last week, someone came to my office to talk to me, and this was the story that they told me. And I have to be honest with you. If I've heard this story once through the years, then I have heard it a million times. But this is what they told me, and I've heard a similar narrative like this over and over and over again. This is what they told me. Pastor Tony, I've been through some deep struggles in my life, and I'm going through some deep battles in my life, and I have made so many mistakes. I have so much guilt. I have so much regret. And so I knew that I needed to turn my heart over to God. I knew I needed to have faith in Jesus and give my life over to Jesus. I knew that I needed to start over and just have a fresh start. And so I started coming to church. And Pastor Tony, as soon as I started coming to church, there was people around me that started accusing me of being fake. People around me started accusing me of being a hypocrite just because I was trying to turn my life around, and they kept trying to remind me of all of my mistakes in my past and my weaknesses. And so I would ask, so you're being called a hypocrite because you're trying to change your life. Why would someone say that? Why would someone accuse you of being fake and not real for simply trying to turn your life around? Why would they say that you're a hypocrite? Because, let me tell you why, because your determination to change your life is making them feel bad about their life, and they're trying to hold you back. Because if you can change your life through your relationship with Jesus Christ, then it's going to cause them to deal with their issues too, and they're not ready to do that. And so in return, they just call you fake. They call you not real. They call you a hypocrite and not genuine. And they try to remind you of all the weaknesses that you've had in your life up until this point. So let's talk about two specific labels today, two specific categories that many times we either place ourselves in or other people place us in. And when we do, we just start to believe this about our life over and over again. And this is what it is. And notice this today. These are the two categories, authentic and superficial. Or in other words, either you're being real or you're being fake. Genuine or superficial. Authentic or a hypocrite. And I think we can all agree that no one wants to be placed in the superficial category. No one wants to be placed in the fake hypocrite category. We all want to be considered as someone who's real. All of us want to be considered as someone who's genuine and authentic and not fake and not superficial. In fact, you hear a lot today about being your authentic self. People talk about that all the time. I'm just trying to be my real self. I'm just trying to be my authentic self. But there's a false story out there today. There's this false narrative out there today that's being put out into the world. And this is what it means to be real. And this is what it means to be fake. This false story on what it means to be genuine. And this false story about what it means to be superficial. And so today, this is what we need. We need the truth to set the record straight. But first, check this out if you're still with me. Sam's still with you. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 18. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well do I know it? You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. Now this amazing passage, this amazing prayer, this amazing poetry was written by King David. King David who experienced guilt. King David who experienced regret and shame and sin and weaknesses and giants and battles and failures and heartache and inner pain. And he writes this beautiful prayer that God knows him, that God knows every detail about him. In fact, God knew every detail about his life before he was even born. And yet his thoughts about him are still precious. And his precious thoughts about him still outnumber all the stars in the sky and all the grains of sand in the world. And basically that means this: God knows us. God knows you. God knows everything that's hidden. God knows everything that's in the dark. God knows all of our secrets. He knows all of our victories. He knows all of our battles. He knows all of our ways that we overcome. He knows all of our strengths. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows the good and the bad. And yet God's thoughts about us are still precious. He knows everything that's hidden, and he still calls you precious. And I know what some of you are thinking, Tony, what does that mean for me? It means this. It means that you're not fake just because you have struggles in life. You're not superficial just because you have struggles in life. You're not a hypocrite just because you have battles in life. Just because you have struggles, that doesn't mean that you're not real. Just because you have giants, that doesn't mean that you're not real. Just because you have guilt, shame, and regret and a past, that doesn't mean that you're fake. That doesn't mean that you're not real. That doesn't mean that you're not genuine. God knows all of that. He knew everything before you were even born. He knew everything that you would do before you did it. He knew everything that you would say before you said it. He knew everything that you would think before you ever thought it. He knew every path that you would take in this life, and yet he still calls you precious. The value of your life is not determined by what has happened to you. It's determined by what happened to someone else 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ loves you no matter what. You're precious to him. But there's also this false narrative out in the world today that's just not true. And so I want us to find the truth today. Notice what this narrative says. If you're still with me, Sam's still with you. This is what it says. This is what the world says. You can get on social media. People post this. It makes people feel good about themselves, but it's simply not true. But this is the false story that the world is putting out there today about what it means to be real and what it means to be fake, what it means to be genuine and what it means to be superficial. This is what it says. The faker you are, the bigger your circle will be. The more real you are, the smaller your circle will be. These are well-known facts. Actually, these are not well-known facts. Actually, this is not true at all. And so let's break this mindset down so we can get to the truth. But first, notice this, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The world has a mindset. The world has a certain way of thinking. The world has certain customs that govern their life. The world has a certain way of training you to look at the world and to look at yourself and to look at your life. And right here, the missionary makes it very clear to not copy the customs and the behaviors of this world, but that your life can be transformed. Your heart can be transformed. Your soul can be transformed. Your entire life can be transformed. How? By changing the way that you think. In fact, the word repent even means to change your mind. Your life can transform simply by changing the way that you think. The way we think about ourselves, the way that we think about God, the way that we think about our pain, the way that we think about our future, the way that we think about our faith can set us up for personal growth or personal discouragement. And so let's go back to these labels, these two categories that the world tries to put us in: authentic or superficial, real or fake, a hypocrite or genuine. The world has actually got it backwards, and let me show you how. The world tells us that in order to be real or authentic, then we need to express or embrace our negative thoughts and our negative emotions, our negative feelings. If you feel like speaking your mind, just speak your mind, just be real. If you're having a bad day, embrace it and accept it. Don't try to pretend to be happy, just be real. If you're having a negative day, don't try to pretend to be positive, just be real. You're going through a painful circumstance, you're going through a painful storm, you're going through a painful battle, it's affected your moods, it's affected your attitudes, it's affected your self-esteem, it makes you sad, it makes you feel low, it makes you unload on people, it makes you want to isolate yourself. If that's how you really feel, don't be fake and fight for your hope. Don't be fake and fight for your joy. Don't be fake and fight for your happiness. Don't be fake and try to turn your day around by trying to turn that storm around. Just be real and embrace all the negativity. Don't be fake by trying to find some hope in your discouragement. Don't be overly positive when your life is tough, because that's not being real. That's being fake. In fact, some people call this toxic positivity. How can being positive be toxic? But listen to me. That's the pattern of this world talking. That's the mindset and the customs and the behaviors of this world talking. That's not Jesus speaking to you, and that's not truth speaking to you. This is not forgiveness speaking to you. This is not grace and mercy speaking to you. It's a lie. We often hear that expressing negative emotions is what's being real, and expressing and fighting hard to be positive, it's what's being fake. And the exact opposite is the truth. We don't have small circles in life because we're just being real. We have small circles in life because we have braced the negativity, and it's made us into a moody person, an overly offensive person, a person who's easily offended, someone who's reactionary, someone who's mean, someone who can't control their words, someone who can't control their post, someone who can't control their outburst. And this is why people can't handle you. Your circle is small, not because you're being yourself and you're being real, and people just can't handle how sassy you are. People just can't handle how moody you are. People just can't handle your real self, and that's why your circle is small. No, that's not true at all. Sometimes people have bigger circles than you, not because they're being fake, simply because they're nice. And nice isn't fake. Sometimes people have bigger circles than you simply because they're being loving. And loving isn't fake. Sometimes people have bigger circles than you because they're patient with people that are different than you. And being patient isn't being fake. Sometimes it's because they're loving, kind and long-suffering, and none of that is being fake. None of that is superficial. In fact, remember this today, if you're still with me, say I'm still with you. It's the negative emotions that we feel and express that's actually superficial and fake. And let me tell you why. Because the negative, it's easy to get there. There's no work involved in that. Now remember this and notice this today. What's actually the most authentic is doing the hard work to change your negative into the positive. That's what's real. Positive emotions and thinking is deep. Positive emotions and thinking is deep, and it takes work to get there. Discouragement is easy. Hope takes hard work and resilience to get there. You have to pay a price to get there. You have to pay a price to be positive. Let me say that again. You have to pay a price to be positive. Despair is easy. Hope pays a price, and that's what's real. Hate is easy. Love is hard work, and that's what's real. Greed is easy, but generosity, that's a sacrifice. That pays a price, and that's what's real. That's what takes work. Being sassy is easy for us, but controlling what you say, that's what's real. That's what takes hard work. Being moody is easy for us, but being a kind person, that's not being fake. That's what it means to be real. It's easy to give up and be the victim. It's easy to give up and play the victim. It's easy to give up and play the little victim, and that's not being your real self. That's being your fake self. That's being your easy self. That is you accepting the customs of this world. What's authentic is when you can get past all the negativity and all the excuses and all that victim mindset thinking. When you can get past all of that and do the hard work to get your faith back and your love back and your optimism back and your hope back, that's what's real. The world has created this narrative that the negative energy that comes from you is so easy and it's just being real, and expressing that negativity is just being real. But I would argue that when we look at everything through the lens of Jesus Christ, then that's actually what it means to be fake. Real people, authentic people, they're the people that do the hard work to overcome the negativity in their life no matter what's going on. Yes, I'm facing difficult storms and uncertainties, but in order to be real, I fight hard, I go deep, I do the hard work to find my joy again. Yes, I'm facing difficult, lonely feelings and feelings of self-hatred and battles, but in order to be real, I fight hard, I go deep, I do the hard work to get my hope and my faith back again. Yes, I'm facing difficult struggles and temptations and discouragements and giants, but in order to be real, I fight hard, I go deep, and I pay the price to get my hope back again and my faith back again. Fighting to hold on to your hope and your joy and your positive outlook on life again is not being fake at all. It's the most authentic thing you can do. And actually, it's one of the most spiritual things you can do. Because the Bible says over and over again that because of Jesus, we're never hopeless, but we have a hope that's an anchor for our soul. And so we have to dig deep and do the hard work and find it. And when we do, that's not being fake. That's being real. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We absolutely love you. Now continue to stay tuned in for an amazing time of worship with the amazing Water's Edge worship team.